We're looking the Word of God this evening, Genesis chapter 15. As you turn in your place there, chapter 15 deals with the covenant of Abraham. The key verse is verse 6, which we're going to read. 21 verses, 471 words, all inspired by God, kept forever in our King James Bible. That this particular chapter is 6.7 grade level. We see that the first part of this chapter, the first three verses, deal with Abraham's faulty assumptions. And then we see Abraham's faithful assurance in the rest of the chapter. If you look at verse number 6, this is what your Bible says. It's an interesting chapter here. He says in verse 6, "And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness, and he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it." As we look at this tonight, it's about the Abrahamic covenant he's give him right here in this chapter. And the Abrahamic covenant is still in effect. Right. Number one tonight, the Catholics have not replaced the Jew.
Right.
When God made these promises to Abraham, they're still there. He may have turned his attention away from the Jew momentarily and cut them off, and blindness in parts happened to him because they rejected Christ when he came. But according to Jeremiah chapter 30, that great tribulation period that everybody keeps talking about and speculating about and what's going to happen, and some people even think we're in it right now. There's just one problem with that theory. We're not.
Right.
So how do you know? Because the Pope ain't come out and convinced the world he's God yet and made everybody bow down and give him all access to all their armies.
Yep.
That's how I really know. There's another way I know. We're still here.
Yep.
So you mean you're pre-tribulation? From the top of my bald head to the bottom of my bald toes, amen.
Uh-huh.
And gonna be to the day I die. And I didn't learn that in some book. I learned it in this book.
Right.
I didn't learn it reading behind somebody. I learned it reading behind this book. Okay, I don't read books about the Bible. I read the Bible. If I have time, I read other books. That's how this works.
Amen.
Now notice this. As we think about the Catholics and not replace the Jew, can I also tell you this also, that the Charismatics have not replaced the Jew.
That's right.
Ah, Sheba, who stole my Honda? Look at my bow tie. You ain't replaced the Jew.
That's right.
You ain't replaced the Jew. So how do you know? Because the Jew's still here and they still got the promises of God. They're enemies of the gospel for our sake, but the Charismatics ain't replaced them.
Right.
Can also tell you this, that the Calvinists ain't replaced them. So who's the Calvinist? Mainly the frozen chosen.
Amen.
But anybody else that thinks that they replaced them, is amongst that crowd of Protestants, you've not replaced the Jew.
Right.
And I'll go ahead and get this one off my little chest tonight. The Campbellites hadn't replaced the Jew, nor you, nor your water baptism either. And until you can read baptism without thinking about water, you might be in a cult. So you think people are like that? They're all over the South like that.
Yeah.
They're Campbellites. They follow Alexander Campbell. And by the way, he even said if there was succession of church as far as doctrine, the Baptist church would be that church.
Mm.
Man, how'd he figure that out? Who knows? Broke clocks right twice a day. But I notice as we look at this chapter, we see the glorious picture of God's great salvation, because it's going to be stated three more times, in the New Testament about that statement, but he believed in the Lord and it's counted to him for righteousness. And tonight we want to look at the provisions of God's promise of his gift for eternal life, the provisions of the Lord's promise. And as we look at that, the first provision of that promise is we see a transaction. You'll notice what verse 6 says. It says, and he says, and he believed in the Lord. There is the transaction. The day you got saved, there was the transaction. You made the same transaction. You say, Abraham didn't get saved like we did. Prove it. I can prove he did.
Mm-hmm.
Look at, hold your place here and look over at Romans chapter 4. Now see, it says there, and he believed in the Lord, right? He believed in the Lord. Over in Romans chapter 4. Down at verse 3, we've got the most amazing statement. Paul is writing about this very thing and giving a theological treatise as big as Romans. He stops at chapter 4 and says, verse 3, "For what saith the Scripture?" What Scripture is he talking about? Genesis 15. "Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness."
Right.
How did we say you get saved in the book of Romans? The same way?
Yep.
Same writer, Paul, talking about Abraham, later in Ephesians says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, lest any man, including Abraham, should boast." Yep. God's salvation has been the same every time. And the divine transaction that God provided is that God came and dealt with Abram because Abraham couldn't go and deal with God. And he came and dealt with him and showed him that he needed to believe on the Lamb of God to get saved. And Abram looked towards the Lamb of God and accepted what Christ was going to do for him on the cross. The way you and I look back at the finished transaction, it was an upcoming transaction for him. It's a past transaction for us, but it was the same transaction because it was the common salvation. And we see a transaction that the man believed. What did he believe? Did you read that verse? He believed God.
Right.
What did God say? God showed him. He showed him. You got to believe me. The same thing he showed you. The day you got saved, there's a transaction made. God had already done all the business. You had to accept the gift. That's the transaction. You accept the gift. And what the Lord did is he offered you that same gift. You either got it or you didn't get it.
Right.
Now notice this. As we look at this thing, this is going to get painfully complicated for you in a second, okay? Because you're not going to believe what I'm fixing to tell you. About 2 days, it's going to hit you. And I hope you're right in the middle of somewhere like a public library and you have to shout right there. I hope the Holy Ghost makes you shout. I hope you got somebody pulled over on camera and got them shouting. I hope they have a Holy Ghost fit on the side of the road. Amen. I'm going to read this to you. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Is counted a simple word for you to understand? All right, Romans 4:3. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Is that easy to understand?
Yep.
We not only see a transaction, but we see a transgressor. Because the transgressor is Abram. He's went against God. He lived in Ur of the Chaldees. He was an idolater by where he lived at. He was L-O-S-T, lost. How did God save him? God had to take something from somewhere else and count it to him, according to that word counted, right? He had to reckon it to him. We looked at that Sunday morning or Sunday night about reckoning something, how that means to put it on account where the money is, right?
Right.
Look it over here at Galatians. I believe it's Galatians chapter 4. I think I'm right. It's either 4 or 6. We'll find it in a second. Chapter 3, Galatians 3, verse 6. Galatians chapter 3, verse number 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted. So counted and accounted. So if we need a dictionary definition, both them things are the same thing. You account to something where it's already been counted, right? Now look over at James chapter 2. This is God's built-in dictionary and God's perfect book. James chapter 2, verse 23. James chapter 2, verse 23. We see a transgressor over here. That's Abraham. What's he getting? He's the transgressor that's getting something done to him, getting something from his account placed on another account where it'll be accounted for. And it says in James chapter 2, verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled, that's Genesis 15, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. So if you're like me and you some dumb thump raised up in Gaffney or surrounding areas and you see the word imputed, you don't know what in the world that means. But if you have a King James Bible, Genesis 15:6, Romans chapter 4, verse 3, Galatians 3:6, imputed means it was counted on his behalf and accounted to him.
That's right.
Listen, we're taking the account of Jesus Christ and giving it to Abraham. We see a transgressor that can't get to heaven, so there was a transaction that God started with him, and the transaction dealt with a transgressor, and that's a provision of God's salvation. He's got to find somebody that's lost to get saved.
Right.
These people that find God, you ain't found God. You ain't even lost yet. You ain't found him yet.
Yeah.
And you say, well, the Bible says, seek him while he may be found. That's talking to his people. I ain't talking lost people. God is looking for people to get saved that are lost. In fact, you'll have to agree with the key verse to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verse 10, where it said he's come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's us.
Right.
Listen, how did we get lost? We were born that way. What do we need? We need some imputing of the righteousness of God placed on our account, and we need it counted to our account, and the accountant's got to come along and see it's there. So how does he know it's there? The same way they do on them shelves at Walmart when they do when them accountants come in. What does it say? Counted. They're imputing what they saw to that thing and saying it's done.
Amen.
We need that done to us. We need the Holy Ghost to come along and see some kind of seal somewhere on us that would say we've been accounted, counted, and imputed that we are who we say we are.
Amen.
How are we going to do that? This book holds the answer. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Having this seal. What seal? The seal of the divine accountant that's counted you, the account of Jesus Christ, and put that on his account. Now you're no longer the transgressor. He became the transgressor for you who knew no transgressions, that you might be imputed with the righteousness of God in him.
Yep.
I don't know about you, but this stuff kind of gets me a little bit excited here.
Amen.
You know what that means? I'm not sinless, but I have an account like I have one.
Right.
That does wonders for me. You know why? I'm good at the first thing and not good at the second one.
Right. Amen, preacher.
But God don't look at the first one. He looks at what's been imputed.
Right.
If he don't, we're all in trouble, but the Bible says he does.
Right.
And he's looking for that seal. What's the seal? The seal's on the Holy Ghost on you.
Yeah.
Now notice this. We got the provision of a transaction. We got the provision of a transgressor. But if you go back over to Genesis 15... show you this. This is interesting stuff here. He says, and he believed in the Lord, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, this is God speaking to Abram, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees. Well, we got there. We got another provision. You know what that is? A transformation. You know how you can tell saved people from lost people?
Yeah.
They was nots. So what do you mean was not? Well, we was, but now we're not. We was not. What happened? There was a transformation took place. And see, that transformation, you look at that phrase down there, he says, I am the Lord that brought thee out. That occurs one time in your Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Just one. And that teaches you something about salvation. How many times does God save a sinner? As many times as he brings him out. One time. So I know some people have been saved four times. Not if they've been saved by the Lord. They might have got saved that last time, but the first three was on them.
That's
like when somebody says, I'm a Greg Little convert. I don't spot them. They still got beer in their hands and marijuana in their lungs and everything else and the wrong prescription in their pocket, meaning it ain't theirs. And listen to this. When I see people like that, I know they're not a convert of Jesus.
Yep.
But if you see them throw away the pills, get rid of the smoke, pour out the beer, and quit being a whoremonger and adulterer, I know whose converts they are. They've been transformed.
Yep.
And when they get transformed, that's because there's a transformer got in their life. You ever got, if y'all got anything at your house that has plug into wall, there's like a little black wall wart you plug in, and it's got a little wire goes with a little thing plugs in something. You know what that thing does? It takes that voltage out of that thing and transforms it to make it work on the other thing. That's what God did for you.
Amen.
And except he'd done one better. He didn't give you a little wall wart to plug into the wall. He plugged it inside. And here's the good part. It so transformed you, you now have power with God that you didn't have before because you can pray and God will listen to you.
Yeah.
All these so-called Pharisees, you know, they're not right with God and they're not right with God and they're not right. Well, why can't you? Well, you're so right with God. Why can't you pray him clean? I've always asked that question. I get, you as a Calvinist up till I said that and all of a sudden you're Armenian. Calvin, I mean, they predestined, they right with God. But if you mention praying another crowd clean, all of a sudden, I'm Armenian. God can't make them do it. You can't be both. And if you were a Pharisee that's a legalist on top of that, here's the catch. If you're so right with God, you should have such an audience with God, you shouldn't be talking about people. You ought to be able to pray them clean. Just like that.
Amen.
But you cannot. Why? You're not as right with God as you think you are. You know why? You've never been transformed yourself.
Well,
here's the problem. Lost people are masquerading as religious people, and they got so more, they got so many rules, they don't even know what all the rules are, and they can't even keep the ones they think they have. You know why? They're constantly evolving. See, used to, our crowd was like this, no TVs. They said, well, you can have a TV, but you can't go to the theater. No, you can go to the theater, but you can't have cable. I mean, it's always, the rules always change. Used to, what was that crowd, them little Teletubbies? Used to, they was the Sodomites, and then somebody else was, and it's always changing. But you know what's unchanging? Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. They can't tune into that and look at that and say, I'm better than that, but they can't say, I have him either. Because Jesus points out about people like that, that if you don't have that, and you don't have that fellowship with him that he talks about he wants, then you have never been transformed by the renewing of your mind. You've never been changed by the Holy Ghost and being saved. Therefore, you're still a transgressor. But if you've been transformed and there's been a transformation, then the Lord brought you out. Brought thee out, that little three-letter phrase, occurs 9 times, and 8 of those 9 times deal with the country of Egypt. You know what Egypt's a type of? It's a type of the world. When Moses left out of there, he killed a man. He got out there in the desert trying to hide. He got out there by a well of water, and these men were trying to overtake and take the camels and the things those women had. And Moses went down there and drove them off. She went back and they said, who helped you down there? They said, an Egyptian helped us. They said, how do you know it's an Egyptian? Because of how he's dressed.
Yeah.
You worldly by how you dress. The world can identify its own.
Amen.
This word's going to get really good.
Come on.
If you dress like the world, you are of the world. There is no gray area with this stuff. I do not see how Christian people can't grasp this. If you've been transformed and you're being transformed and there's been a transformation, if you're a new creature in Christ, how do you keep doing it? Has the seal been broke? No, the seal can't be broke. You've been broke yet. That might be the problem. You know what God does to his people? He breaks us where he can use us. You know why God can't use some of these loudmouths around here? Because they're too big for God to use them. He's got to break them down and then build them back in the image of Christ so he can use them. And you know why nobody can ever get along with them? They're too high up. They're too tight for everybody. You don't believe 100% like I do, therefore you can't be right with God. And then they find out they're wrong about something and they never admit it.
How about that?
Why can't you just say I was wrong?
That's right.
I mean, being honest before God, I've had to get up here and apologize to you for things. Why? I was wrong. I'd have to get up and say, I was... No, I was wrong. I could see that crowd now doing that. Well, I was not exactly right about such a... You talk like a Democrat. Speak English. Listen to this. When we see a transformation, he said, I brought thee out. Well, I was looking for God. You full of pride. Sit down. You know what a Christian testimony of transformation is? I was on the bottom. I was going to the same hell the drunkard was and never drank a drop in my life. That's getting the bottom right there. I had this habit I couldn't quit. I had this drug that had me. I thought I could quit any time. And then Jesus passed by and he transformed me and took it all away. That's transformation.
Amen.
And if you'll notice down here in verse 7, he says this. He says, I brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. Mark down, I know you've heard me say it, but it ain't got a hold of you yet, but every war that's ever been fought's over that right there. Real estate. Why did they want Israel? There's oil in them there hills. Why did Russia invade Ukraine? There's oil in them there cold hills over there. Why won't we drill our oil out for them? Shh, don't tell them we got it, or they'll be invading America next. True story. You don't see this happening, do you? You ain't figured it out yet. God gave them that piece of land. And you know what they want to do? They want to thumb their nose at God and take that land back. Run the Jew into the ocean, they say. You hear about the Harvard professor, you know, the wisest people in America, the Harvard people? On record, Senator looks at her and says, "Do you allow anti-Semitism to go on your campus?" You know what she said? It depends on the context. What? I wonder, she looked at her and said, "Well, if we come up here carrying rebel flags and saying death to all the blacks, will that be okay?" You know what that woman would have done? She had jumped up and said, "Oh, no, that's racism." But it ain't racism to make fun of that Jew.
Come on.
They only see me. They don't see you. You can shout a little bit.
Come out.
You know what it's going to take? It's going to take something to see that what we have is number four provision God gives us. He gives us a treasure.
Yep.
You know what the devil can't take away from you if you get saved? He can. There's one thing he can't have. One thing. You want to guess what it is? Your good looks, don't think that. He'll mark over your face with a magic marker and stomp you wet and walk you dry. They won't do that to me. You'll be next. One facial stroke, one set of Bell's palsy, and you, them looks gone. All of you can't listen. They, some of y'all, listen, as long as y'all young, y'all pretty, y'all going to get old, and it's going to be old. It's going to be. They used to be a good-looking person back when they was young. Now they got old. Everybody can't be like Fane, you understand?
Amen, brother.
Tell them, brother. But what I see is I see that provision of a treasure. The land he give Abraham is like the provision he give us. You know what it is? He's give us heaven.
Yeah.
Where do you think the first war in the Bible was? It wasn't Genesis 14. That was the first one on earth.
Yeah.
First war ever was in heaven.
Yeah, right.
It was over real estate, a real place where people live.
Yeah.
You know what started the war? Pride.
Yep. Yeah.
Please tell me again how pride's okay, because listen, when the devil said, I will, and every time it's talking about the throne of God, and he's going to take it over, pride got him thrown out.
Yep.
Out of what? A piece of real estate severely north of this planet.
Yep.
And you know what? Pride's fought every war since then, and it's been over real estate every time, and we see a treasure that God give us. The devil can't take away your place up there. He can't take away your soul down here. But boy, he's after everything else you own.
Yeah. Amen, brother.
I hear people say, if my oldest child went bad, but if my baby does bad, I'm looking at that baby and they got that wild look in their face. And you're thinking, oh my goodness, lady, you should have never said that. That baby's going to break your heart. And then they'll say something really smart like this. Well, my kids, they did such and such, but it's because of your kids they did it.
Yeah.
Your kids are the victim every time, right? I got accused of that all my life. I was always the guy that got everybody else in trouble.
Amen.
I get saved and none of them want to give their testimony. You know why? That's sitting in church the whole time. We was dropping acid, doing all them wicked things like that.
How about that?
I said, man, what kind of friends have I got here?
Amen,
y'all knew about the Lord the whole time and wouldn't tell me?
Hmm.
I quit being friends with them people. Let's hold back the goods. Mm-hmm. Listen to me. You've got people right now who don't know this, but God has provided you a treasure. Two things about that treasure. Number one, it's hidden in earthen vessels. That'd be you. Like I said, the devil's going to tear up the earthen vessel trying to get to that treasure. He can't have it. So he's just going to tear your box up that's holding it. You think the devil would do that, preacher? I know he would.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what can he take from me? Because the Bible says, greater is he that's in me than he's in the world. You stand there and quote that while he's taking away your kids, your marriage, your house, your car, and and start singing victory in Jesus while he's beating you to death and handing you defeat after defeat after defeat after defeat.
Mm-hmm.
He'll do that to you.
Right.
He's a liar and a deceiver. He'll make you think he'll make you think that one day he's going to get saved if you just be nice to him. He's a tricky devil.
Yeah.
He's a liar and a deceiver.
Right.
What's he after? Your treasure.
Yep.
If he can't get in there to get it, he'll take away everything around it and at least mark on it, danger inside. Don't listen to this person.
Mm-hmm.
There's people right now who have sat around and said, that'll never happen to me, and became a victim of their own words.
Yep.
Sad things is, they'll tell you you need to get right with God, and they can't see the devil's beating them to death. Crazy. It's a crazy life. We see a treasure. He said, I brought thee out to give thee this land to inherit it. Did you know when God saved you, he saved you out of where you was at to bring you to something else so he could do some great things for you where you at and you could do some great things for him?
Right.
Who's hindering that? Well, you and the devil probably. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this. I use this illustration all the time. If you ever get handcuffed and you get treated rough and shoved in a car and taken somewhere and they take you in a place, put your fingerprints, take your picture, and stick you in a cell and feed you fried bologna for about 2 or 3 days, and they're going to let you out of there and say, oh, we're sorry about this. We got the wrong guy. As I always told them I had the wrong guy. When they got you, I said, that's the wrong guy. It's that guy back there. It's not you. And when you walk a door out of the door of that thing, you know what I've never heard one of them say? And I've been up there on the day when they was releasing everybody. Up here at the county. I've never heard one yet turn around and say, I don't like this fresh air, and I don't like these clean clothes. I don't like my wife up here to pick me up. I don't like going to get some good food. Can I go back into jail?
Come up.
You know why? Somebody let them out.
Come up.
They may be not guilty, but they not innocent.
Amen.
And you know how we walked away from our lost life? We didn't walk away innocent. We walked away not guilty.
Mm.
You know why? Somebody paid the fine.
That's right.
And I don't see people flocking back to the old life unless they were never transformed and they don't have that treasure. Here's another thing. When I go up to the bank, I walk in the bank and I do one thing. I don't try to get in y'all's money. I don't go in there and say, count a Brandy Kirsch, please. I know they'd say millions if I did, so I'd be too tempted. I don't go in there and say, yeah, I need to access Ben Atkins' account because I need to move some money from one of my big accounts or my other bigger account, and you know all that stuff. Ask me why I don't. Well, why, preacher? Why don't you do that? Because I have no rights to it.
Right. Yeah.
You know what my treasure is? The one I'd walk in there and I'd hand them a card with a number on it that says my name, my number, and all this other stuff. I can move it from one to the other one. I'd move it back. I'd do it as many times as I want to.
Yep.
When you only have $1, you can juggle that thing from the savings to the life savings to the checking to the whatever. You can do it anything you want to with it. You know why? It's mine.
Yeah.
I can't do yours, and I can't do yours, but I can do mine all day long. In fact, I like riding by there and just riding by the window and waving and people let them know, you work for me. Don't get all smart with me. You work for me. It may just be a dollar, but it's my dollar. You see what I'm saying? Is that right? And then politicians better pay attention to what I'm saying too. I don't work for them. They work for us.
Right.
And here's the thing. When we go to that treasure that God's already given us, we can do anything we want to with that treasure, anything. And you know what's going to have to happen to that treasure? It's got to be put back in the master's hands so I don't accidentally withdraw it and put it in the wrong place.
Yeah.
So what kind of treasure is it? It's God inside you, empowering you to pray, witness, study, do everything he tells you to do in this book, and do it and be a success.
Yeah.
God's already given that to you the day you got saved. You say, I don't know how to do that. Read the instruction manual. You won't go six books in till you run into the word success. And it all has to do with this book. Why do you think the devil attacks it all the time? Why do you think the devil don't want you to read it and always something's always coming up? Why do you think the devil wants you to read the Bible on your phone where something pops up pss, 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 all the time?
Yep.
He's trying to get your attention so God don't have your attention. You got this treasure in these earthen vessels that needs to be taken out and used. God wants you to use that thing.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Somehow, in some way, he brought you out that he might bring you in to the inheritance he's already given you to do with it what he wants to so he can use you wherever he sees fit.
Right.
Have you received the power of God in this transaction? He said this in John 1:12, as many as believed on his name, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Here's the greatest thing of it all. If you got saved, listen, you already have the same access to the throne of heaven, listen to this, that Jesus Christ has. Because he gave that to you through Jesus Christ.
Yep.
We're no longer praying on your merits, we're praying on his.
Amen.
We're no longer spending on your dime, we're spending on his. And by the way, I just ain't got the faith for it. Well, listen to this. How about this? We're operating on his faith instead of yours.
Right.
Go read Galatians 2:20 again and tell me whose faith we live by. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We've got all this. These are all God's provisions for salvation.
Right.
This is what the provisions of God's promise is. He provided these four things to you, and he gives us a wonderful picture of it in the person of Abraham and what happened over here in the Abrahamic covenant for you, dear believer, so you can do great things for him.
Amen.
Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.